Father, we're gathered here today, and we gather because we do believe your word. We pray that you would take now your word today and apply it to us in the way that is most fitting for our individual circumstances today. We pray, Lord, that you would give us insight in your word to be able to act upon it and to be able to receive the benefit of it. Take now your word to enlighten our hearts and, Lord, to increase our faith in you. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Our title today, They Had Faith. Back at the first of the year, we kind of put out the challenge to read through the four Gospels between the first of the year and Easter. So I think some of you out there are reading the Gospels. Some of you are on your second time through already, and some of you are maybe struggling to keep up. But don't give up. Keep reading, because it's in the daily reading of the Word of God that we learn so much and our lives are enriched. And I personally don't think that anything else, no amount of preaching or Bible teaching or anything, can take the place of that daily Bible reading, because in that is where God speaks directly to you from His Word. And there is no possible way that we can stay in God's Word that way and not receive some benefit from it. Now, every day may not be as exciting as another day, but if we just do it, we just do it. There's a lot of other things we just do, like take a bath, brush our teeth, comb our hair. I'm not even going to ask that one. How many combed your hair this morning? How many? But there are things we do, and this should be one of them. But anyway, so as we read, you know, I've been reading the Bible, I guess, ever since I could read. But every time we go through. So here I am, my second time through Matthew, and I, you know, get through those opening chapters at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, his temptation in the wilderness, his baptism by John, the calling of the disciples. And then in Matthew, you come to 5, 6, and 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And then I come to chapters 8 and 9, and all of a sudden, I just see a pattern. And that's something that'll happen too sometimes, as you read something over and over. This was my second time through in just a few weeks, and I begin to see a pattern. I've never thought of Matthew as a book about faith. And yet, here it is, story after story after story after story, teaching us about faith through the people in these stories. And so I came to some conclusions. You know how I speak. I speak based on observations and conclusions taken from the reading of the Word. So today we're going to go through a few of those. And if you're one of those who like to fill in the blanks, so it should be a thing there in your bulletin that has the responsive reading on one side and the notes on the other side and a place to fill in some blanks. And of course, the answers to those will appear up there on the screen. And if you miss any of it, you can always go to sncccc.org, hit weekly message, and within a couple days, hopefully, that'll be posted and be up there where you can see it. So this is what the Lord was saying to me as I read through Matthew here this second time. Number one, in these stories in Matthew, we see that faith mattered to Jesus. And we're going to go through some of the reasons today that we know that that is true. But let me just take you through a little thing of some of these stories. We have the man with leprosy. The man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, if you are willing, that was the only thing he had any doubt about. He didn't have any doubt about Jesus' ability to do it. So that is a statement of faith. He says, Lord, I know you can. So I know that if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, Jesus answered that statement of faith. What was his answer? It says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. And when Jesus said that, something happened. And that man was healed. Be clean, he said. Immediately, he was cleaned of his leprosy. Now, whatever this skin disease was, those must have been common, because we read quite a bit about it in that day, and there wasn't any cure for it. You know, I find that dermatology is quite a field even today. And a lot of those are difficult to treat. But in that minute, he's healed. Now, the centurion, Lord, my servant's lying at sick, really, really sick. Now, in the King James, it doesn't put it as a question. It says, I'll go healing. And then I say, oh, no. You don't need to do that. I know who you are. I know you have the authority. I'm a man under authority. I tell this guy, go do this, and he does it. Do another, come here, and he comes. He says, I know all you've got to do is speak the word, and it'll happen. And Jesus absolutely marveled. Now, how many times do you see Jesus marveling at anything? Not often, because he already knows everything. But he marveled, and he stops, and he says to the people, I haven't found this kind of faith even among any of the Jewish people, and that would include his 12 followers. I have not found this kind of faith. This man is a Roman. This man is a Gentile. This man perhaps had converted to Judaism, but he's a Gentile. And so that certainly probably didn't set all that well, you know, with the crowd out there. But Jesus is impressed, and he lets it be known. And he says, I haven't seen this kind of faith even in Israel. And so then Jesus says to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you what? It will be done just as you believed it would. Jesus had the ability, but the centurion had the faith. That's how it works. Okay? In another occasion, Jesus is in the house. These men have the man on the stretcher, carried by four. They can't get in. They go on the roof. You know that story. You learned it in Sunday school. They open the roof. They let him down. Jesus looks up. Hi! There they are staring at him. And the Bible says, and when Jesus saw their faith, not when he saw the hole in the roof, but it was evidence of their faith. How many of you would go to those extremes to get your friend in front of Jesus? When he saw their faith, he says to the man, son, your sins are forgiven you. That caused a little controversy. And then a little bit later, he says, well, just in case you wonder if I have that authority, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. So he says to the man, get up, take your mat, and walk. And he got up and walked out in front of all of them, and the people were praising God. When Jesus saw their what? Faith. This lady that comes up behind him. Huh? When she touches him, she says, I just know it. If I can just touch him, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. This woman was bleeding. This woman had an issue of blood. If you had an issue of blood, you were unclean. If you had an issue of blood, you did not belong in a crowd. If you had an issue of blood, there were certain places that you could not enter and you could not be and you could not go. And she touches him, and she is immediate. He feels virtue leave his body. He says, who touched me? And they said, there's people pushing against you and shoving against you, and you're wondering who touched you? No. He says, no. Somebody touched me. There with me. Take heart, daughter, he said. What did he say? Your faith has healed you. He had the ability all the time, but it was the faith that released the healing virtue. The two blind men, we already read this. Son of David, have mercy on us. They get inside the house. Watch Jesus' question. See, faith matters to Jesus. It matters. And it matters in his relationship with you and me. We say, oh, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, you believe in Jesus. But do you have specific faith in Jesus for certain things? When he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him. He asked him, do you believe I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, here it is again, according to your faith be it done to you. Now, if Jesus said to you and to me today, according to your faith be it done to you, how much would happen in your life right now? Good question. Canaanite woman. I won't spend a lot of time, but Canaanite woman, Syrophoenician woman. You know, if you've been in church, you know that the Jews looked down on and despised the Samaritans because they were half-breeds. Well, Canaanites were about three notches behind Samaritans. Jesus wouldn't look at her. He wouldn't answer her. He would not give her the time of day. She was very, very insistent. My daughter is home, oppressed by an evil spirit. I need her healed. Finally, Jesus says, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. During his earthly ministry, his ministry was limited to his own. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He said, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Those are pretty strong words. She says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus says to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and her daughter was healed at that moment. Mora Cirulla said one time that Jesus had to go outside of time in order to do that. He had to do a time warp in order to do that. It would be like stopping the earth or stopping the sun in order to do that. But because of her faith, he could not ignore her. All right, let's pick back up now. Did faith matter to Jesus? Does it still matter to Jesus? Suppose you're a church member. Does it still matter to him? Oh, absolutely. Number two, in these stories in Matthew, we see common, ordinary people exercising their faith. Just common, ordinary people. Blind man, leper, Canaanite woman, centurion, just people from every day, every walk of life. A lot of these people, well, we'll get to that later, maybe in more detail. But they weren't even necessarily today what we would call church-going people. But they knew who Jesus was. That's the thing. See, there were a lot of his own people that didn't even recognize him as Messiah. But these people knew who he was. And they believed in him. Number three, the faith. In these stories, the faith we see being exercised is specific faith in a specific person for a specific need. We say, I believe, I believe. I got saved. I believe. Yeah, but do you believe him today for what you're going through today? If you don't, you're dishonoring it. And in each case, the person's faith was honored with a solution to the need. So yes, the Lord wants us to have that general faith in him as Savior, as Messiah, as Lord. But he also wants us to have specific faith in him for the specific things that come along. And if our faith isn't real enough to be exercised in those areas, then our faith needs working on. Number four. In these stories in Matthew, we find several common denominators. In each case, we find two people, Jesus and the person with the need or request. Hasn't changed at all. That's the way it is right now. Two people, Jesus, who has the solution to the need, and myself, who has the need. In each of these stories, there is a need. It might be physical healing or it might be something else. It isn't limited to that. C, in each of these stories, we find faith exercised by someone. And then D, in each of these stories, we find a solution provided. Now, there are different needs, different people, different backgrounds, different backgrounds every way, geographical, religious, everything else. But we have these four things in common. Okay, number five. In these stories in Matthew, we see that Jesus encouraged people to exercise their faith and commended those who did. I don't know, I haven't done the study to read it that way, but I don't see Jesus commending people for many things. This seems to be the main thing that he ever actually spoke a word of approval and commendation for. He encouraged people to exercise their faith and commended those who did, and this is a word of my choosing, and chided those who did not. Let me read you a few of those. They're in a storm. The disciples cry out, "Lord, we're going to drown." They wake him up. He calms the storm. But he says, "You of little faith." How would you? You're a disciple now. You're not just somebody out there in the crowd. You're a disciple. And the Lord has to call you a little faith. That hasn't changed either. "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. We know the story of Jesus walking on the water in the wee hours of the morning. He comes to him walking on the water, and it's a little choppy out there. And, of course, Peter's always, right, spontaneous, shall we say. "Lord, can I walk on the water?" He says, "Come on." Now, you have to credit Peter. You know, he's willing to try it. And he gets out, and he walks on the water. But then it says, then he saw the waves, and he saw the wind, and he got afraid, and he began to sink. And it says, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?'" Well, the wind, the waves, and that's the way we are. The problem seems more real than the Lord's love. The problem seems more real than the Lord's power. The problem seems to be a greater reality than the Lord's ability. And so we doubt. And so we fear. But he chides him. He doesn't fuss him out. He just chides him. Jesus warns them at one time after the feeding of the 5,000, and they're getting ready to go across the lake again. And Jesus just makes a comment. "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they're like, "Leaven? Oh, we forgot to bring bread." And aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Do you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets full you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets full you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And then they understood their teachings, which come in and act like yeast and corrupt everything and mess everything up. But he calls them, "You of little faith." And then when he comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples have been trying to cast this evil spirit out of this boy. And the man approaches Jesus. He said, "I brought my son to your disciples, but they haven't been able to help him." Now listen to Jesus' response. "You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith." There it is. "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you." So Jesus encouraged people to have faith. When he saw it, he commended them. And when he didn't, he chided them. Number 6. We see that while the disciples were learning to exercise their faith, they still had a ways to go. And that is you and me, no doubt. We believe. But every now and then, there's some doubt creeping in. Every now and then, there's some fear beginning to slip in. Something happens, something big or something unexpected or something really acute that just seems like it'll never go away. And so our faith for that particular situation just seems to slip. So we're works in progress, and this was obviously is a lot of what Jesus was doing with these men during those 3.5 years. Now bear in mind, they had seen with their own eyes all the miracles that Jesus had done. You and I would probably say, "Man, if I had seen with my own eyes all the miracles Jesus had done, I wouldn't have any problem believing." Well, they did. And they did. So it isn't really that. Because we tell ourselves, "But this time is different. This case is different. Yeah, I know the Lord helped me here. Yeah, and he helped me here and he helped me here. But this is different." Well, yeah, it may be different. But does that mean it's any different in the sense of the Lord's ability to work there? So what he's looking for us is, even when we don't know the answers, and even when we don't know if we can take another step, to say, "Lord, I don't know how you're going to resolve this. I don't know how you're going to do it. But Lord, I believe you, and I trust you. So just lead me, Lord, and I know you're going to work it out." That's what he's looking for. Number 7. In these stories in Matthew, we see that faith is the essential ingredient in every miracle. Faith. Because Jesus has the ability. But it doesn't matter how much ability he has. If I am in unbelief, I'm not going to receive the miracle. It's that simple. It's just like we have light switches. You know what the light switch does, don't you? Electricity flows anytime if there's an electrical source, if the power is there, then electricity will automatically flow. You don't have to do anything. All it needs is a path. And the only way it won't flow is if you interrupt the circuit. We call that, Bill Malone around here? Anyway, we call that an open circuit. I'm no electrician, but I did read that much in school or somewhere. It's an open circuit. In other words, you stop the flow by interrupting the circuit. And that's what our doubt and that's what our unbelief does. Because the Lord's ability is there all the time. It says he was never able to do any great miracles in his hometown in Nazareth because they still viewed him as Joseph's son and Mary's son and the carpenter and all of that. And they couldn't accept the fact that he was who he was, and therefore he never was able. It says because of their unbelief, he was never able to do any great miracles there. Let me tell you something. My Lord's ability is not limited. It is not limited. It was not limited then, and it is not limited now. But the one thing that will limit it is my lack of faith. So that's why we would say, Lord, give me a believing heart that I may believe you. He hasn't changed. And the need is what it is. Faith is what closes the circuit and brings the solution. And finally, number 8. In these stories in Matthew, we see that sometimes the strongest faith We see that some of the strongest faith can sometimes be found where we might least expect it. Think about it. The strongest faith we read about this morning was the centurion and the Canaanite woman. Isn't that something? And so I know that saving faith is necessary for salvation. We can't get to heaven without trusting Christ as Savior. But at a practical level, sometimes I think as believers, we know too much. And we have all these theological arguments. Did you know that there's a whole wing of evangelical Christianity that teaches that the miracles ceased when the disciples died? Did you know that? And they believe that on theological grounds. My Jesus has not changed. And you can go to some people that have never heard the gospel at all and tell them that Jesus is the Savior and Jesus is the healer and that Jesus can fix any problem, and they believe it and they're dumb enough to believe it, and the Lord does all kinds of miracles. And that is why right now there are more miracles happening in the third world than there is in the United States of America, where we have churches on almost every corner and where we have all the books and all the CDs and all the tapes. And yet God is doing his work in those places where the people are just now hearing it for the first time. I had not planned to say any of this, but the Lord says, say it. Because it's true. They have no trouble believing, no stumbling block to believing. And they know that the supernatural is real because they've dealt with the witch doctors and these people. And some of that power, I mean, it's fake and that it's of the enemy. But some of that power is real power. They know the reality of it. So when they find Jesus, they don't have any trouble believing Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I would say this morning, Lord, get the cobwebs out of our head and let us see you for who you really are. And let us see that you are able. You are able. And when we come, let's not put limits on the Lord so far as what he is able to do in our situation. But let's believe him and let's touch him, because that is how we will receive the answer. And he is just as ready to work now as he was then. What did he say to the leper who said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean? What did he say? I am willing. and he is still willing. Are you willing to believe? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. We thank you that the healing power of Jesus is still real today. We thank you his saving power is still real. Lord, I don't know what is going on out in the audience or what is going on in any particular life today or what any particular person is struggling with. But Lord, I just pray, I just know today, if nothing else, you've got the grace to get us through whatever we are getting through. And I know that the more that we trust you, the better it's going to be. That's all I know today. So I just pray today, Lord, as these people, your word was written for our benefit. Your word was written for our instruction. As we read about these people and how they exercised their faith in you and they received the answer from you, let us be the people that trust their God. And in the process, we will become a witness. In the process, we will become a testimony of your goodness and of the great things that you do. Lord, just get rid of whatever unbelief remains in our hearts today. We trust you for salvation, but Lord, help us also to have faith to believe you and trust you for all of life, because you are for all of life. And we thank you, and one day we're going to see you in glory, but in the meantime, you've got us here, and you have an answer for every need. So Lord, help us now to believe you today. And just this morning, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, is there anybody out there that would raise your hand while our eyes are closed and would say, preacher, I'm one of those. I love the Lord. I believe in the Lord, but I want the ability to believe him more. Would you raise your hand right now? Amen. And the Lord knows your need. And as you trust him right now, I believe you will see him begin to work. Father, thank you. Minister to us today as you see fit, and give us faith to believe you in the days ahead. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And God's people said,